Good afternoon. Welcome to our virtual meeting. It's 1:30 p.m. on September 21st, 2021, and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 20-28.15, we are holding meetings remotely. Today we have with us Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Ann Spangler, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, our Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, our Assistant Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Lila Wall, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not speaking. We will ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting, while others may require more time. Please indicate you'd like to speak by clicking raise hand, or if joining by telephone, dial *9, and I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. Commissioners, are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
This is Commissioner Olson. There's an addendum item 4B, add at places, amended bid report, cover sheet, and amended bid report. Another is item 5B, add at places, redlined resolution from Commissioner Wolf.
Thank you. And I would like to add an item under commission business under agenda item 8 this afternoon. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name and indicate where you're from. Comments from the public is item 3 on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. Agenda item 2, recognition/declarations. Item A, consideration of a resolution recognizing the observance of the week of October 4th, 2021 through October 8th, 2021 as Customer Service Appreciation Week. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, we have Derek Herman available to answer any questions. I'll first ask if there's any questions or comments from the public regarding the resolution. I'm not seeing any. Are there any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
No, it's Commissioner Olson. They deserve stars on some plaque hanging somewhere for the phenomenal work in terms of all those that provide customer service during our adventure these last 2 years.
Yeah, I agree. I just get so much feedback out in the community. I met at a chamber meeting the other day. This person said that customer service has just been amazing. She manages the trailer park, and customer service helping her with each of the different meters, and just said it's absolutely been outstanding. And I know it's been especially hard. So
thanks. Thanks to all of the people who are being recognized this week, all of our customer service reps, and the department as a whole.
Okay, any other comments?
I would just pile onto that. Our customer service and energy service groups do just a phenomenal job in normal times. And as Commissioner Olson pointed out, the last 18 months have been really unprecedented, and they have rose to the challenge in amazing ways. And it's just cool to see the effect or the impact that has had on our customers and our communities in very difficult times. So just a huge kudos to that entire CSR group.
Mm-hmm. Well said. All right, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye, all those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries. Next is item 3, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not on today's agenda? Please state and spell your first and last name for the record. Looking for hands raised in Zoom, I'm not seeing any. Okay, we'll move on to item four, our consent agenda. 4A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of September 7th, 2021. B, bid awards, professional service contracts and amendments as amended. C, consideration of certification / ratification and approval of districts, checks, and vouchers. And I'll remind you that we have an at places, an amended bid report. Are there, I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. Are there any comments from the public regarding our consent agenda? I'm not seeing any. Are there any comments or questions from you, commissioners?
I have a few on the Woods Creek Circuits project, $900,000. I would like to know a little more about the herbicides. Is there glyphosate that's going to get into the water stream, the streams? Glyphosate is a nerve agent, and it hurts fish and people and any other living things, I believe. That's my understanding. So I wonder if Randy would have any, Mr. Gusso would have any information about the herbicides.
This is Randy Packabush.
Okay.
And we do very little. It's a cut stump treatment, but the product is Garlon 4. And rather than the other way you spray is you do foliar, where you spray over every tree and the leaf and all that. So this is after we've cut a deciduous tree down, we just treat right around the bark edge, around the cadmium layer, so we don't get sucker growth back on deciduous only.
Thank you. And can you find a way, or do you do it so that it doesn't get into the water flow, the stream?
Yeah, our policy is to stay 100 feet away from any creek or streams or well sites. Also, any fencing, they got to stay 50 feet away from, say, a fence where there's cattle or anything around that. So that's all written into the contract already, yes.
Okay, well, I just noticed that it was on Woods Creek, in the Woods Creek region or area. So I was just wondering about that. And so thank you very much for the clarification.
Yeah.
And let's see, I have another one on the behavioral home energy reports. This contract is for, hold on, let's see, how many millions? $850,000. So have we justified this really? I mean, we're doing a lot of reporting and tracking, and we'll be doing even more with smart meters. So how did this come about that you felt you needed to hire this company, Behavioral Home Energy Reports, Bidgley? Could Sherry Miller speak to this?
So, Commissioner Wolf, this is Jeff Feinberg from Energy Services.
Okay, hi.
Good
Jeff.
Afternoon.
Hi.
Hi, and we actually had an at places to have this removed from the agenda because we have actually decided to pause and gather a little bit more research. And the main reason in thinking about that is the program actually has a lot of different robust capability, and we were planning to use it in a very simple way to kind of pilot the approach in order to take advantage of BPA's incentives for the program. But mm-hmm. we've decided that we're going to pause and wait a little bit more to see if a little bit further down the road, we can actually take full advantage of all the different capabilities of the program. So it's not going to be brought in front of you guys today. And so sorry that we didn't remove it from the agenda before it went out.
Well, thank you, Jeff. This is not really comparable, but in our region down here in Edmonds, we had a volunteer program that was very well organized, and we had people reporting on all of their energy consumption of every type over a 3-month period, and then another 3-month period just to track their own usage. And so in a way, it was a home energy report of their own behaviors, and what, and it really showed a lot of improvement after people did that for a few months. And so I just, you know, I know it, it isn't comparable to what you would have done, what you will do if you hire behavioral home energy reports. But I just couldn't help but think of it. Our program here was called the Bigfoot program. Big, you know, about your carbon footprint. So anyway, just for what it's worth.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners?
Just a minute. Let me flip through here one more time. Oh yeah, I do have one more. So later in the documents, we have a list of things that are being discontinued, put out for sale on bid, et cetera. But this one is $503,744.22. And I'm not questioning that we need new excavators, but I was just wondering why it was shown separately. This, let's see, who's in charge of this one?
Is this on item agenda item five, disposal of surplus property?
It's a cooperative purchase recommendation in the state. Isn't it part of this approval?
Okay, I don't know. I'm just asking which page is it on?
It's on page 65.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. And I mean, I know we need excavators. I'm not questioning that at all. I'm not even questioning the amount. I was just questioning why it's here and not in the other part where we have everything listed that's being dealt with through, you know, getting rid of it or whatever we're going to do with it.
Commissioner, this is Commissioner Olson. I believe these items are to get a better price. This is a separate category because we use the umbrella of the state purchasing. And okay. So that's why it's separate. Okay. The state actually goes out, I believe, and gets the bids, and then we identify what we want. Somebody.
Okay. Somebody thank help. You.
Yeah, I'm losing my.
Okay. So that, I think that takes care. No, I have just one more. And that is about the water system plan update. And my question, let me see here. It says city. I was just wondering, just a minute. Impacted city is a reference to what? Any impact is any city that is impacted by this, or which cities? This is a question for Brent.
Hi, this is Brent Wood, AGM of the Water Utility. So as we finish our water system plan, one of the things we have to do is send out copies of it to all the adjacent water utilities and cities mm-hmm. for their comments and remarks. Mm-hmm. And so basically we're just extending the contract with our consultant to be able to respond to those consistency review statements from the cities, Snohomish County, as we move forward and finalize the plan. Does that make sense?
So in other words, any city in our service territory that would be impacted is?
It's primarily the cities that are adjacent to us and are served by us. So example would be the city of Granite Falls, city of Arlington, city of Snohomish. We sell wholesale water to all those customers.
Okay.
City of Marysville is adjacent to our system, so city of Marysville would also have an opportunity to comment on our plan.
Okay. So I think I was a little bit confused because it had just city, and I was wondering which city, but it's several, possibly several.
Just my grammar.
Okay. All right. You're forgiven.
I apologize.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much. I think those are all my questions. Commissioner Logan,
this is Commissioner. Oh, excuse me.
No, I was just saying, Commissioner Olson, do you have any questions?
I do. And it has to deal with the blanket, what I kind of perceive as a blanket emergency declaration. And my questions are only of clarification. I really support this. It's a critical need, probably has been happening for a while. And so my questions are, and I have no intent of not approving this. We can't hold it up, but this is a little bit of a hybrid emergency declaration, at least the way I'm reading it, and I need some help. because it involves a standard for major storms, but then it also includes dealing with market conditions. And I guess I'd first like to know if that's my, if I have the correct interpretation.
So Commissioner Olson, this is Ann Spangler, your general counsel. It is not storm related. It's just materials and supplies.
Okay.
Part of the emergency is that we are heading into storm season.
Oh,
we anticipate
all right.
a higher need.
Okay, right. Thank you. I misread that. Thank you. Well, and my other questions around, I get into more detail than I should in terms of operations. And I guess I don't have any questions here because I thought storm emergencies was included in this. So I had some questions about auditing and that sort of thing. So that all goes away.
Yeah. If for some reason we do see a need to declare an additional emergency for a storm, there will be a separate declaration for that purpose.
Okay.
If so one comes up during the season.
Yeah. Okay. And you've mentioned that this covers material and supplies, and I'm thinking that it probably has to cover more. Is it just material and supplies, or does it go into labor, contracted capital work?
No, this is intended to cover equipment and supplies. Again, the emergency need for labor might arise during a storm.
Oh, okay.
It
so this
have its own declaration.
Okay, so there is it.
So I think, I don't think, and Guy can correct me if I'm wrong, we don't see the same emergency existing in order to hire contractors. It's okay. More the material side of things.
They make it scarce too. All right.
Well, yeah, they may.
And really this helps me. And my only other observation was, we may need to put some extra work into maintaining positive relationships in those areas and those suppliers of materials and equipment, because it looks to me like this may go over an extended period of time. I thought I saw in a communication, perhaps April. So if vendors see the PUD not bidding stuff, they're in business to make money, there may be some pushback, I would think. So to me, I think it's important to, in some way, maintain positive relationships with them through this crisis.
Right.
Go ahead.
One other comment was, I think, there are a number of strategies that staff can use to keep an eye on cost as well as keep a stable of reliable contractors. We can go back to past bidding documents and folks who've bid on our other contracts. So there are some strategies that staff can use.
Well, if we can save a penny here, but it sounds to me like you better grab what you can get.
So
go ahead.
Well, relating to the questions from Commissioner Olson and comments from Ann Spangler, if we go ahead and order things and then we don't have the need for them, they would just be included in future inventory, kept on hand?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, this is really just the shortage of some, in some sense, basic line material, transformers, hardware, and this is a really a national issue. In part because of COVID, I think that's the big big reason, but also the hurricanes and storms that the South has experienced has tapped into a lot of those supplies that were already weak to begin with. So really Guy and his team were just trying to get out in front of this. It's already occurring for some of even our neighboring utilities. I had discussions with some of my peers at the NWPPA conference last week, who are already experiencing some transformer shortages and some other material shortages. So we're really trying to play offense here, get out in front of this, and Guy and his team, and along with Clark Langstrad and his team, are really trying to pull out all the stops to figure out how to navigate keeping materials in stock, especially going into storm season and through storm season.
Well, and you need this flexibility to do it. Yeah.
And well, to your point, Mr. Olson, it's probably not going to be a short-term issue.
My one other thing was leading into, Tony, don't get into operations so much, right? It was, do we anticipate for some of our major projects, connect up, et cetera, et cetera, are there going to be some supply issues there that might impact our schedule?
This is Guy Payne, AGM of Distribution and Engineering Services. And yes, that's something the Connect Up team's looking at very closely. And they have pulled some orders that were going to be ordered further into the future back into 2021 to try to mitigate some of that. We're also seeing some other potential issues with some of the telecommunications equipment and looking for ways to mitigate, you know, those things from impeding the programs. So it's certainly, like John said, it's nationwide. And it's mostly the most common things we use, poles, wires, transformers. We're already seeing some materials that we're out of currently. We're finding other ways to still get the jobs built for the customers, but certainly trying to do everything we can to not get in a place where we're having to really change construction standards in order to get the.
Thank you.
And I was wondering if any of the slowdowns have to do with importation problems with foreign actors. Are we importing things from other Asian countries, for example, or any other countries that we may currently be having some difficulties with? Does that affect this at all?
I can't speak to that directly. I would turn to Clark and get his thoughts on that.
Thanks, John. You know, that may be an issue when we talk about electronic items, computers, and things like that. But for supplies on the line side, much of that is produced in the United States. There may be some raw material issues that are affected by foreign countries who have high demands for those raw materials as well. But I think the effect from foreign markets is minor, if at all. Mainly what we have is local production or United States production. Domestic production is really slowed by COVID and related factors and the storms, and just a shortage of transportation, drivers and trucks and things like that. Sort of piled on in a unique situation.
Yeah, thank you.
When we suspend our purchasing rules, like we are for an emergency like this, what due diligence do we need to do ongoing to monitor it, to know when to change it, and how do we work with the auditor to make sure that they're on board with what we're doing?
Go ahead, Anne, if you've got something to say, I can.
I'm going to say one piece and then I'll turn it over to you. So under our policies, we report back to you on all the expenditures that are made under an emergency declaration on an ongoing basis. So that's one of the ways. And the other, of course, would be by the general manager reporting on a regular basis to the board about the use of the declaration. Clark?
In a more practical nature, just in contracts and purchasing, where we suspend the procedures for a formal bid that would involve an award that we would bring to to the board, we might just downgrade that to an informal purchase. It takes us less time to accomplish that. We can identify a supply that we need and make a purchase a lot more quickly. So we would just maybe take a step back to a less intensive procedure to buy that, but we would still be using due diligence to either get competition or make sure that we were getting a price. And we would continually monitor market conditions to make sure that as supply comes back, that we are going back to our normal procedures when it is practical.
So it sounds like there might be a running list of the items that will be purchased under the emergency order. And then there might be items that we're purchasing that don't require the use of the emergency order. And we would keep those separate. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right now, distribution engineering is working on a list of the items that we're concerned about supply and lead times. And then we will take that and determine if we have supply that we can just order extra and bring in additional inventory under our normal processes, or if we need to sort of invoke this emergency declaration and suspend some of our more formal procedures to make that purchase in a more timely manner.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. Any other questions on the consent agenda, commissioners?
I have no more.
Okay, I will call for the vote. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda, say aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next for item 5, public hearing and action. A, disposal of surplus property, fourth quarter 2021. I will call for a motion.
Let's see. Based on staff's recommendations that the items are no longer necessary or useful to the district, I move that those items listed on Exhibit B of the surplus property recommendation report be declared surplus and be sold for high bid or disposed of according to policy in the fourth quarter of 2021.
Okay, thank you. I will now convene a public hearing on the disposal of surplus property, fourth quarter 2021. We have HUD Allworth available to answer any questions. First, I'll ask, are there any comments from the public regarding the surplus property? Please raise your hand. Not seeing any hands going up. Are there any questions or discussion from you, commissioners?
I have no questions.
I have none.
Okay, I have none. I will now close the public hearing and I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, next is item 5B, continuation public hearing for consideration of resolution creating the district's rate schedule, supplemental residential time of day, and supplemental residential critical peak pricing service schedules. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, I will now convene a public hearing. We have Brian Booth available to answer any questions, provide a presentation if requested. Are there any questions from the public regarding the resolution? If so, please raise your hand.
So I have to ask a question, please.
Wait, Commissioner Wolf, let's see if there's any comments from the public first. It takes a few moments for people's hands to get up. Okay, I'm not seeing any. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners? Commissioner Wolf?
So I would like to move that the recommended edits that I submitted be accepted. They were mostly just corrections of typos and things.
So you're making a motion to substitute the at places document you prepared for the existing resolution.
That's okay. Correct. Thank you.
Is there any discussion about Commissioner Wolf's motion?
Clarification, a motion to include it in our action, in our approval. Is that what the motion was?
That's what I believe the motion is, that she's asking the motion, she's making a motion to change the language of the resolution that we approve today or don't approve today to be the edited version that she submitted, which is at places item 5B.
Right, that's correct.
I do have some comments. this item was correctly postponed or moved for action to today by Commissioner Logan, and it was correctly so to change some of the rates schedule. And I see this addendum with what I see as edits, grammatical changes. And I've been thinking about this for a long time, but unless a request for modification or something to an action item, resolution, whatever, unless it really is needed to address a material change in the intent of the action item, I don't support that. And the reason is I really don't equate, while it's important, we each have our own areas of interest and our focus. And while I don't equate the value of doing this to the responsibility of my commission oversight, and to be laser focused on managing our owner's assets, $750 million annual budget, about 750,000 citizens, To me, the breadth of that, I struggle with how this brings any additional value to the customer. So, you know, therefore, as these things come forward, if they continue to come forward, I just wanted to make a statement for the record that I typically will not support them.
Well, I thank you. I typically don't suggest changes, but I think in resolutions, it's important that they be correctly written. And so I just don't like to vote on something that I think needs, you know, correcting. So it's just, you know, I agree with you 100% that this is minor. But I mean, if you noticed a decimal in the wrong place or something like that, I think you would want to correct that. And so I think it is comparable to my wanting to make sure that things are grammatically correct. And it's a minor thing, but I read things carefully. I do a close reading of all of our resolutions and everything. So anyway, when I saw those, I thought, wait a minute, it's not correct, you know? And so I just took it upon myself to send a red line version of I think it was just only three or four things, and they were minor. But what's the big deal of having them corrected? Maybe Brian would like to weigh in.
Actually, I would like to respond, Commissioner, first. These changes like this have been proposed from time to time, and a request has actually been made to delay an action. And I don't know if we have delayed an action. I know there have been requests. So I felt the need at this point to, from my perspective, in terms of the value of a delaying an item or making an addendum to an item, that it is really, and I know it's important to you, but I really in terms of the value to the customer, my role, the customers didn't elect me to do that. They elected me to provide oversight of the utility, which has a much broader implication. So I just wanted to clarify that for you.
Well, it certainly does. It certainly does have what, you know, the big picture is much more important than the minutia. But what's wrong with approving a corrected version, grammatically corrected? I don't see what's the big whoop on that. But, you know, if you want to let it go through with the errors, go ahead.
Well, I have no further comment. We are demonstrating our practice of using selective hearing.
I don't have an interest in making edits that aren't that don't change the outcome of the resolution. So, any more discussion?
It doesn't change the impact or the meaning, but it is a better written document, I think. And I don't see why anybody should object to that. I know, Commissioner Logan, that in your life, you have a grammarian in your household. And, you know, if she were sitting in my shoes, I think she would have done the same thing. So I don't know.
I think we're just operating in a realm that is the general manager's. The general manager's and general manager's staff is charged with, preparing these documents, and we obviously have to approve them. And so unless there's, a substantial problem with the document, a decimal place in the wrong place would, of course, be huge when we're setting rates, things like that. But I don't feel these small changes are things that we should be weighing in on. That's my opinion. Any other discussion before we vote?
Commissioner Logan, with all due respect, if you were to read it in its original form, you would realize it doesn't make sense in a couple of places. So anyway.
I'll just make one comment that, and again, leave the action of the board to you for sure. But I will say that, myself and staff are now a little more aware and are being a little more focused to try to make sure the documents that we produce, the resolutions that we produce are written grammatically correct.
Thank you, John.
Okay, so we have a motion before us to amend item 5B to make the changes suggested by Commissioner Wolf in At Places document 5B. So we're voting on that motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Nay.
Nay. Motion fails. Are there any questions, commissioners, on any more questions on the item itself? Not hearing any. I will now close the public hearing and I will call for a vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
So, excuse me, what is the vote specifically?
We're voting to approve item 5B.
Okay.
As in the packet.
But Jimmy, well, I approve the program. I just wanted the resolution to reflect.
I understand. And you made that motion and we voted on that motion. That motion didn't pass. So now we're voting on the original item.
So
I'll vote yay.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. Next is item 5C, consideration of a resolution amending the district's retail electric rate schedule to implement a 0.54% system average rate increase. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, I will now convene a public hearing. Brian Booth is available to answer any questions, provide the prior presentation if necessary. Are there any comments from the public regarding this resolution? If so, please raise your hand. Not seeing any hands raised from the public. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners?
I have none.
I was wondering if Brian could restate the public, they relate to this in terms of dollars and cents. And I'm looking now frantically. It was in your presentation. If you could just restate the monthly impact for residential, commercial, and industrial. Thought I had it written down.
Off the top of my head, the impact for a typical resident would be about 50 cents a month.
Yeah, okay. And commercial was?
Ooh, I'm looking.
it's in your presentation. And I can't, I just want this for the record, for the public record.
Oh, there we go.
I don't want to hear the whole presentation.
Let's see if we can tab to the back of this.
You had one slide that.
Here we go.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
So average residential, 51 cents a month. Commercial, there's a little variance there. $2. Low user, $1.30. And the industrial, $7.70 a month. Average user, which I'm thinking that's a grocery store.
For a commercial customer?
No, industrial.
Oh, industrial.
Oh, industrial. Yeah, what, seven, is that just Boeing?
No, we have six customers that fall into this rate category. Okay. I am gotcha. Going to pull them from memory. Boeing, the Navy, Romac, Hampton, Providence. Somebody help me out here.
Oh, I don't need that. No.
Oh, like King County Brightwater. There we go.
But it will be about $7.70 more a month for those industrials.
That's right. Roughly 2/3 of a percent.
For the record. Thank you very much.
Good memory, Brian.
Thank you.
Well, I should have, I lost my paper with it written down.
And I'll just say, you know, I appreciate so much all the work staff did with Bonneville and our partners in public power to decrease this as much as possible. It is ironic that most customers are going to get a decrease and we're going to end up with a small, I mean, most utilities are going to see a net decrease and we're going to see a small increase, but I understand that's just the mix of the products that we buy from Bonneville. So I appreciate so much. This could have been such a higher thing. And you know, this is what matters, I think, very much to our customers, what their rates are and what they pay every month. So,
Commissioners, I do have one verbal comment on the net cost for our residential customers. While our headline rate is increasing for residents from 10.414 to 10.47 cents, the residential exchange credit, which flows directly from BPA to the customer's bills, is also increasing. So on a net basis, residents will actually see their on-bill price fall from 10.341 cents to 10.252 cents.
Okay.
So gotcha. I know Julie's on the line and she's sweating how we're going to communicate the rates are going up, but bills are going down, but certainly it's a better problem to have than the opposite.
Well, you'll figure it out.
Residential exchange credit is such a fascinating thing.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay, are there any other comments or questions from you, commissioners? Okay, thank you, Mr. Booth. I will close the public hearing. I will call for a vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item six, items for individual consideration. 6A, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CO general manager or his designee to execute a work order with the Northwest Power Pool for participation in the phase 3A of the Western Resource Adequacy Program. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, we have Garrison Marr available to answer any questions. We were briefed on this at our last meeting. Are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands up. Are there any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
I have none.
No, I've given it a lot of thought and I think we're on a good trajectory. And I approve, I mean, I'm glad that we're continuing in the process until we have to make a final decision on commitment.
I agree with Commissioner Wolf. It's important work. Okay. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is item 6B, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO General Manager to execute amendment number 5 to the agreement for joint ownership of utility poles with Northwest Fiber LLC. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. We have Mo Matthews available to answer any questions. Are there any comments from the public first regarding this resolution? Not seeing any hands raised. Are there any questions or comments from you, commissioners?
I have none. No, I have none.
All right. Let's hope this third extension is a charm, Mo. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next, item 7, our CEO General Manager report. You have a report for us today, John.
I do have some fun things to share with you all. So first up, out of our HR group, HR continues to work with managers to discuss staffing plans for the Connect Up project. New job descriptions are being created for some of these time-limited roles, some of which are expected to be filled by current staff moving into these new opportunities. The Benefits Committee, the Benefits Advisory Committee, and VEBA are meeting to review 2022 benefit recommendations and finalize the 2022 benefit rates. We're also, the benefits team is preparing for the upcoming open enrollment. And in late October, the flu shot and COVID vaccines will be available on site at the operations center and the electric building. And we'll have more specific information on that coming shortly. In our facilities generation, power rates, and transmission group, in preparing to comply with the new requirements under the Clean Energy Transformation Act, staff have been working to create a 4-year clean energy implementation plan, which will link with the integrated resource plan effort. To help inform Snohomish CEIP, staff is in the process of gathering a variety of public feedback via customer survey posted online and advertised in a variety of district communications, as well as the organizing of customer focus groups. Once these efforts have concluded, staff plans to hold an online public meeting in October to summarize the results and seek further feedback from the community before packaging it into a proposed CEIP document. The first phase of the November 8th through 19th North American Electric Reliability Corporation, or NERC, Reliability Standards Audit Package was filed to the Western Electricity Coordinating Council, WEC, on September 9th using the secure data portal. And the North County Community Office Early Site Development Project is substantially complete. This includes phase one site infrastructure and paving in preparation for the new community office. In our energy services group, through community support, our continued partnership with Workforce Snohomish and Snohomish County to apply federal emergency rental assistance dollars. At present, this program has reached 379 households with nearly 295,000 in assistance. And our strategic energy management efforts launched a clean water energy cohort. This is the first of its kind in Western Washington. And in addition to PUD Water participating, our water division participating, provides an opportunity to support our region's clean water providers in refining business processes by enabling no or low cost energy efficiency. In our customer service group, updates to our customer service phone system. Customer service is testing the payment arrangement options for customers using our phone system. The option for payment arrangements is currently available in MySnowPud, and this ensures all customers receive the same experience through all channels. Additionally, paying specific attention to offering all phone options in both English and Spanish, making us more accessible and diverse to the communities we serve. And our continuing operations team has begun working with various departments in preparation for the COVID testing as required by the recent presidential mandate. Specific rules have not been released. However, the district is discussing various options and how they may be implemented at the district, including on-site testing and tracking for unvaccinated employees. And I wanted to provide a storm update. We had our first storm of the fall season last Friday afternoon, starting around 3 p.m. with high winds primarily affecting our northern service territory, including Camino Island. Several additional outages were later reported in East County. We did an all-hands call around 7:25 p.m. Friday night to keep pace with the increasing outage numbers. The storm restoration was complete effective 8:30 Saturday evening. There was a large amount of damage to the north end of our county with scattered outages east all the way out to Gold Bar, with the most significant damage to Camino Island. The wind gusts reached mid-50s with sustained winds in the 30s for several hours. Many thanks go out to all of the district employees who worked so hard to get our customers' lights back on. There was a huge amount of support, teamwork, and collaboration with various departments and work groups, and we successfully completed the storm with zero injuries and zero oil spills, and provided efficient power restoration to approximately 8,600 of our customers that were impacted by the event. Our crews completed over 57 crew jobs in under 30 hours, as well as over 100 service jobs, all of that which accounted for the 8,600 outages. And the last item, which I really have mixed emotions in announcing this, our CIO, Dean Galvez, has announced that he will be retiring from the district. His last day will be Friday, October 15th, 2030. I sure appreciate Dean giving us 9 years of notice on his retirement. Isn't that what you had mentioned, Dean? Oh, I'm sorry. It's October 15th, 2021. Dean has 40 years in various IT leadership roles at the state, county, city, and PUD, and says it's time for him to enjoy and spend more time with his wife, family, and friends, and begin their retirement journey. Dean will truly be missed, and we wish him all the best. And I will just say, having the opportunity to work with Dean over the last few years, he really has been a strong member of the executive leadership team, has grown a really highly functioning and highly capable IT team that has set us up for success in the future. And Dean will absolutely be missed and is leaving a great legacy for all the things that he has accomplished while being here at the district. So again, I just about took this off my list, Dean, because I knew if I read it, it was going to even be more real, but we are excited for the next chapter in your life.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Congratulations, Dean.
Dean, thank you, Commissioner. You can't go. You're too young.
Yeah.
I exactly. Got dark hair.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my wife is taking good care of me. She retired from Overlake last year, and she's been edging me on this last year. So we're looking forward to our journey. And as John said, you have a very strong team in place to support, your operations and your future innovation programs as you continue to deploy more technology across the company. I think you have some really good talent, and John and the rest of the ELT has been so supportive in asking the right questions, raising the right options and concerns, and addressing some of the gaps. So I think you have a really strong team, and I've certainly enjoyed my last 15 years engaging at all levels in the company. So thanks for all your support.
Well, I have really appreciated the time you've given to explain some things to me in meetings, and I just want to thank you for all your good work and wish you the very, very best. Good health, continued good health.
Thank you.
And good times ahead.
This is Commissioner Olson. Wow. This is a big loss. Sure, you can't entice him to stay. I mean, he's that function is key and core to supporting the entire PUD in terms of initiatives. And, Sid has led us through, looking at another note. You've led us through really some turmoil, I guess, which is ongoing, and seem to be very future-oriented and proactive. And I so appreciate that. And I would agree with what others have said. You have pulled that division together well. And John, were you going to find somebody to replace him?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how I can deny his retirement.
Huh?
I'm trying to figure out how I can deny his retirement.
Yeah, I don't think that works. Yeah. Anyway, I admire you, and I hope you do fun things in retirement.
Thank you, Commissioner Olson. I appreciate that.
Well deserved.
Best wishes, Dean.
Thank you, Commissioner
Olson. Excited for you. Any questions for John on his report, commissioners?
No. Thank you. Thank you for it.
Okay. Next is item 8, commission business. 8A, commission reports. Are there any reports, commissioners?
I have none, Commissioner Olson.
I don't think I have any new reports. We've just done the routine kinds of things that we do every month. And I think I already announced that my trip to the NWPPA conference had to be canceled. I felt that I needed to cancel because the COVID risk over in the Tri-Cities was just skyrocketing. And I thought, I don't think that would be a wise trip. So, and they didn't have a virtual option, unfortunately, but that's okay.
All right. I have one item that I said I wanted to add to the agenda. It's not exactly a report, but this involves a commissioner who signed themselves up for a webinar and didn't go through our clerk staff, and also sent an email to one of our employees. This is Commissioner Wolf. Apparently you sent you signed up for a webinar through APPA and didn't go through our clerk staff. And then you apparently sent an email to Rob Beidler. Sorry if I'm
Beidler, Rob
hurting
Beidler.
His name.
Right.
You sent an email to him instead of going through commission staff, as is our policy. And I think we just talked about this at our last meeting.
Commissioner Logan, do you read the daily PUD bulletin?
I do.
Okay, he had a report about safety days, which I attended, I think you did too. And I just thanked him for it. And was that the one where I said, I support you in what you're trying to do on the COVID business?
I don't know. I don't read your emails, so I don't know what the email
is.
I just know that we've talked about how to thank staff is to email one of the clerks and ask them to pass on a thank you. And I think even more troublesome is going out on our own and scheduling things. We have it's very clear in our board policy is that the clerks coordinate all our activities. So I'm just trying to understand, this subject has come up several times, and we just talked about this last meeting, and I'm surprised it's coming up again. I wanted to hear your thoughts.
You know what? I have lost track of the steps in the process. It came to me. I checked it out. I checked, and it appeared that there was no cost involved. And there wasn't even time to go through the, clerk. But I wondered, it was about cybersecurity, I believe. I think that was the one. And it was just something I was really interested in because it's one of our chief concerns here. So.
Again, the concern isn't the meeting. The concern is scheduling the meeting. I guess others of us might have wanted to go to that.
I think it was a timing issue, Commissioner Logan.
You know, I had emailed Allison in the morning that I'd like to attend something, and I often will get a response within an hour or two, or almost certainly by the afternoon. But our rule is very clear, and we've had this conversation so many times now. I don't know if you remember, Commissioner Wolf, but this was your first year, and we were in we had a special meeting, a workshop, and we were talking about this very item, and you had said that you signed yourself up for the Solar Summit. And I said, I want to go to the Solar Summit. I've gone in the past and I really got a lot out of it. And what happened is because the notice had happened so late, you were signed up. I wasn't able to go because we didn't have time to notice the meeting, which is what we have to do when there's more than one of us at something. So I didn't get to go to the Solar Summit that year, and I would have liked to have. I guess I find these rules so easy to follow. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand why it keeps happening.
Well, I assure you, I was not trying to sidestep the process or go around the clerks. It was a timing issue. I think it was going to happen right away. And I could see that it was sent to me. And so I didn't see that there was anything wrong with signing up for it.
Did you let them know that you'd done it?
I think I did. Did I not, Allison? You know, I'm sorry. I do not have a clear recollection of the timing and the steps involved. I just know that there was very little time to sign up for it. But I did use my SnowPud address, I believe. You know.
Here's really all we're asking, because it puts staff in an awkward position, is that the board follow the agreed upon governance policies that you will go through staff to provide any communication or ask any questions of any of the employees, and for Allison and the team and Melissa and team to be able to coordinate and schedule any activities that you're interested in. That's all. That was the agreed upon protocols and practices that the board signed up for. And
well, that makes it so much easier
for us.
I have followed that. Maybe this was one exception. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and retrace my thoughts and my steps, because I don't think I violated any rules. But if I did, my apologies. And I'm trying to be, you know, as compliant as possible in these things. But maybe it was when Allison was not available. I don't know. I don't remember, honestly.
Well, I guess I'm hearing justification, but our policy is really clear. BL6, our board clerk of the board relationship, it says the clerk is responsible for coordinating all activities of the board members. And certainly if you're going to something on behalf of the utility, an APPA sponsored function, that's an activity that the clerk staff need to coordinate. All right, let's move along. Next is item 8B, our commissioner event calendar. Are there any changes to the commissioner event calendar?
No, I have none.
Okay, I have none. Next is item 8C, the 2021 budget forecast and major project status report, August results. Sarah Vaughn's available to answer any questions regarding the report. Are there any questions, commissioners, on the report?
Yes, Commissioner Olson, can you give me a sec here? I
sure.
Made some notes, but I don't know how relevant they are.
I just had a general question on, Will we see the spike in prices we have to pay, that the emergency declaration we earlier on today's agenda will we see a substantial increase in our costs, or will it be such that it really is a minor?
I think, well, Guy's on the screen. I'll let Guy and Sarah answer that.
I think, Commissioner Olson, we're already seeing significant escalations in materials, and we'll continue to do so. I saw an email from a vendor earlier that talked about how generally their pricing will stay the same for an entire year, Most vendors have moved their prices like around 5 times within the year. And it's really back to the supply and demand. We're going to see escalations, and we already have been. So.
Well, and I just, my comment was just a general one. Each quarter, there's a target for operating expenses. And I'm thinking, will we be over our last quarter then? Do we anticipate that we're going to have a market increase in operating expenses linked directly to this?
I think there'll be some increase, but you know, we're committed to, you know, still stay within our budget targets, or to the best of our ability, taking into consideration storms that we'll see in this fourth quarter.
Yeah, well, we're keeping a really close eye on the last quarter numbers, and you know, we'll make some decisions if we feel like there may be an adverse effect, but we don't believe that there will be.
Oh, it will be. Yeah, I thought in the grander scheme of things, and you got to pay what you got to pay. And so that was just a question to have, and the bigger picture, it probably will just be a blip.
I have a quick question for Brent. Is he still on? Brent Wood?
I am.
Hi, on page 216, when you talk about contributions, does that mean payments?
Contributions in lieu of payment sometimes, so it's be donated plant from developers potentially.
I'm sorry?
I'm not looking at the page right now. But.
Well, it says contributions are higher than expected due to continued high development and growth in the water system service area.
So contributions can be the fees to connect the connection fees, but also donate a plant. Sarah, you probably could answer that question better than me in the context of page 216, but it could be donated plant too. So as developers install facilities for the district and then turn them over to us, those are also contributions.
Yes, and they're definitely running higher than we had planned. Mm-hmm. So it's good news.
Growth, yeah.
I just wasn't clear on what that meant. I was assuming it was payments, but it's more than, it can be contributions. Like, did you say plants, P-L-A-N-T-S?
Donated plants. So like if a developer installs pipe in the ground, new services for a plat, that's all donated plant is what we refer to it.
Okay.
As.
Okay. Thanks. Good to know.
But not the green kind.
Okay.
I have no questions, but I just want to say thank you, Sarah. This report is short and concise, and it really gives us a good perspective of where we are on an ongoing basis. And I really appreciate it. I know it's an extra thing you have to do. So thank you.
Yeah, it's really helpful. Thanks.
Any other questions, commissioners? Okay, next is item 9A, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
I have a comment, and that has to do, let's see, governance plan. Oh, it's about our meeting on October 4th. I remember that we were going to get information from staff before we met to discuss things about board owner linkage. So I was wondering when we could expect that work product.
Well, first, let me say that there's been a development in that, and that was we have a key staff member who has jury duty that day and won't be able to be there. And so I was going to propose that we move it to October 19th to the following meeting.
Okay, that's fine. I would agree with that.
Okay, and I don't know that we had an agreement to provide the materials ahead of time any more than we normally do. I don't recall that.
Well, it's my recollection that we were going to get some recommendations or information that staff thought was important for us to consider before we discuss it. And take action on it.
I think what I recalled is that we were going to let staff make this presentation that we'd requested, and that if we needed further meeting or further clarification, that we would schedule another time. I know you had suggested that we have a special meeting for it, but I think we had decided that we were going to let this presentation that we'd requested happen, and then decide, the three of us, what next steps are. So I don't think there's any decisions necessarily happening. I think it's a presentation.
Yeah, that's correct, Commissioner Logan. And the board would receive the materials in the packet with the typical lead time that you have the information prior to that meeting.
Okay. Any other comments, changes to the governance planning calendar?
No changes, just a comment. Commissioner Olson, I was pleased to see November 16th that we'll be receiving the Connect Up program quarterly update. And keeping the board close to how that project is moving. So pleased to see that.
Okay. Well, is there any further business to come before the board this afternoon?
I forgot one item under a commission business. I'm really kind of getting tired right now, but there's going to be a new employee orientation. And since we are virtual, and since the facilitator can put us in separate breakout sessions, I would really love to be a part of that, because there's only one that I've ever attended, because I've never been president. And apparently the protocol has been to have just the president involved, but I think it would be good for the benefit of the health and the relationships of the district, for any commissioner who wants to attend to be able to attend. And since we are virtual, and since we can very easily be in different sessions, and there's no board business involved, and there's no decision to make, no vote. According to the law, we can't, according to protocol, at least, even if there's no discussion of any business, and no voting, we're not to be in the same place at the same time. And I understand why it can't be publicly noticed, because, you know, you want to protect the privacy of new employees. But I would really like to attend, and I would like to request that the facilitator be able or be willing to just not put us in the same breakout sessions. I think it's really important to get to know people on the staff side. And it's good for relationships, and it also is consistent with our DEI policy to promote equity and inclusion. And I think that even though we're not a part of the DEI staff side program, I think that we want to practice what we preach. We want to promote equity and inclusivity. So that's why I would greatly appreciate making an exception in this case when we have a new employee orientation, that we just be in separate breakout sessions, and that we'd be allowed to be there.
Commissioner Olson, I'm with you, Commissioner Wolf. I'm getting tired. So I'm really not prepared to talk about that. I got to think about it. Got a lot of history here, and trying to think back as to why it's set up this way. I like this, the way it is set up, but I'm not prepared to really have a conversation about it this afternoon.
You know, I'll just reflect that before the new employees, the part of the meeting that we go into breakout room starts, they all watch a video, and the video talks about each of the departments in the PUD and what each of them does. And so then when we get to the breakout, there's one representative from some departments. Usually there's not all the departments are there. So the commission office, which is one of the departments that's in the video, has one representative, which is one commissioner. So we have AGMs, and it's not always the same AGMs. John often attends. So I think it'd be curious to have more than one person, have three people from one department and one or less from the other departments. I guess I'm not prepared to dictate to the general manager how that HR meeting should be run. But those are my thoughts.
You know, we talk about being a family, and we talk about kindness. We talk about knowing each other and so on, but we are completely, I mean, you as the president, you're entitled to be there because you were chosen to be president. And so the rest of us really are cut out of a lot of things. And I understand that that's just how it's always been, but I don't think it's good for the PUD.
Well, I would disagree that you're cut out from a lot of things. I think there's three or four of these a year, and I think you attended one of them this year. I think
in your absence.
That's true. There's really not that many things that I attend because I'm president. I attend things like chamber events because I want to be involved and with the chambers in my area. I attend the Economic Alliance things, which all of us are invited to because I'm interested in what's going on a regional basis. But there's very few things that I attend just because I'm president, but there are some. I agree with that.
What I would propose is to give Commissioner Olson and maybe you, Commissioner Logan, some additional time to think about it. And myself, as well as the our team, maybe we take the next couple of weeks to think through this and then come back with our thoughts and share our thoughts at the next board meeting on what we think would be the best plan forward. And we can share any concerns that we have or logistical issues that we would have to deal with if we have more than one commissioner at that meeting. I hear you, Commissioner Wolf, as far as, wanting to be engaged. There's just the protocols that come with being part of the board or that the board has, the commission has, that we just have to make sure we abide by as well.
Well, the event is on the 29th. New employee orientation is on the 29th, and that's why I brought it up today. Maybe you could just let me know somehow what your decision is.
Yeah, we can think through it and try to come up with a plan for the 29th, and then again circle back for a discussion on what the longer term plan should be. Because again, I think what we have to take into consideration is, we may have the virtual option now, but that we are going to go back at some point. At least my hope is that we will go back to in-person new employee orientation meetings.
I thought about that. If we were in person, we could just, you know, when there's a break, we could shake their hand, we could say hello, welcome, you know, that kind of, I may be wrong about that. Maybe the new employees are not able to attend the board meetings. Are the new employees welcomed into the board meetings? And are we able to meet and greet them?
To the commission meetings?
Uh-huh, yes.
Well, they're typically working. And by and large, they wouldn't attend a commission meeting unless it's a person
who may have a role. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, we're not able to have our in-person family day or other ways to meet staff. So anyway, it just be, you know, I just so enjoyed hearing from the new employees that I heard when I joined the meeting in Commissioner Logan's absence. It was just interesting to hear where they come from, what their interests are, what their backgrounds are.
Keep in mind, again, when we are back to having the ability to do more in-person things, we can always have provide a tour for you to get out, as we've done for other commissioners, to go out and meet employees and see the different parts of the district. You know, the new employee orientation is just one method, and it does obviously create some complications having more than one commissioner there. So again, there's a lot of other opportunities that we can pursue or think about on how to get you out to meet more of the employees and get out to see more of the district.
All right, I accept that. I just, you know, it's a different experience from when you're in the breakout session with 4, 5, 6 people, and each one gets to talk about himself or herself. And I'm sure you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. I think you're probably involved in those, aren't you? The new employee orientations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a marvelous experience. And, you know, I'm just really eager to get to know some of the people in our PD, because I'm really so impressed with the people we have. I think HR and you and all the people involved in hiring do an excellent job of selecting our staff. And
yeah, we do have a phenomenal team.
We have a lot of winners. They're all winners, right? So anyway, that's my request and that's my rationale for it. And I hope we can work it out.
Is there any other business to come before the board? Okay, hearing none.
I don't want to prolong this discussion, but the we can work it out is the three members of the board. Is that correct, Commissioner Logan?
I didn't say we can work it out, so I don't know.
No, Commissioner, I'm just following on. Commissioner Wolf said it looks like we can work it out or something like that. And I'm saying, I think the we is the three commissioners. Is this an incorrect assumption?
I don't know what, Commissioner Wolf, can you elaborate once you met by that comment, Commissioner Wolf?
Well, it appears to me that the arrangements for the new employee orientation are made by staff. And so if there's a way that they can arrange for the meeting not to have us in the same setting, I don't understand why that couldn't be done. So
I guess, Commissioner Olson, if what you're asking is, are we as the three of us going to dictate to our general manager that we all be allowed to attend? Is that what you're asking?
I'm not asking that anything be done. Just that I don't know if this is stated in our governance policy specifically with regard to the role of the president, but it has been protocol for a number of years. So I just wanted to clarify, am I the only one that thinks that it should be a board discussion before we implement it?
I guess I think it's in our board policies, it's sort of other duties as assigned, that the president represents the board. And so in this meeting, as I was saying, you know, there's a department head that represents each of the departments, and the commissioner that attends is representing the commission, which is one of the departments. So I think that's the protocol. I think the protocol is that the other duties as assigned. The president represents the board.
Well,
there's other things where we all, let me finish, Commissioner Wolf. There's all right. other things we all three attend. This isn't just attending and watching and listening. This is actually interaction. So, and I guess this commissioner is not, I'm not willing to dictate as a commissioner vote to require the general manager to change how our HR new employee orientation meetings are conducted. So I think John indicated that he would go back and think about it and talk to staff and they would see, you know, what they thought was appropriate or could be done. But I don't, unless I'm missing something, I just don't see, why we would impose something like that on our general manager when we've given the general manager all this latitude to run the entire organization. But I think Commissioner Wolf stated what she'd like. And
well, may I continue?
Sure.
Okay, maybe we could rotate it. Maybe that the three of us could rotate that. And I don't see why some of our protocols can't be changed a little bit. I mean, they're just, I understand what you're saying about why we don't want to be in the same meeting. I do understand that. And I just thought that since they could put us in different sessions, but you're right, there is one part where we would all be watching the same video. And if that's some kind of a risk, I don't know. We're not discussing it. We're not voting on anything. But I know there are good reasons for all of these things going back centuries, whatever. But if it's, maybe we could, you know, discuss and decide if we're willing to cooperate. I think that, to go back to what happened today about two of three commissioners saying, no, I don't want to accept grammatical changes in our resolution. That is showing a lack of respect and cooperation among us on the board. And this will just be something I'm thinking about. And when I write my book on culture, the culture of the PUD or this PUD, it will be a chapter.
This Commissioner Olson, since I was the one that raised that, I in no way wanted to it be interpreted as disrespect. It was only my view on the value of the importance of that, as I don't believe that the customers would, they didn't elect us to do that. They elected us to oversight of the utility. For me, I want all my energies laser focused on that. So I was in no way, I was just making a statement about my opinion as to how productive or the value is for us to ask for amendments to or to delay action on an item. That's all it was.
Well, what would have been the harm in accepting a few edits? That's just what I'm asking. I don't think that was showing respect for my efforts and my concern for correctness on our resolutions. But without, you know, passing judgment, I'll just say I'll leave that for one of the chapters of my book.
Well, I think you've already passed judgment, Commissioner Wolf.
Well, so have you, and so has Commissioner Olson. We're all passing judgment. So just let it
go. Well, as you have, Commissioner Wolf, I feel that I should have the opportunity for the public record to state my opinion. And that's all I was doing for the future. I just wanted my fellow commissioners to be aware that unless it is a change, substantive change to the intent of the resolution, I will not support cosmetic changes.
It's not just cosmetic.
Well, that may not be what you call it. That's what I call it.
You know, I'll say one more thing on this new employee orientation, and that is the focus is on new employees and orient them. So that's the reason we have the program. We don't, it's not about us. We're just representing one department. I think that's what frustrates me is that this is really about those employees. And so.
Well, Commissioner Logan, I agree with that, but I think it's important for all of our employees to be a little more aware, you know, of the commission that is responsible for the whole organization. What's wrong with that? And to know that we're human beings and that we, you know, we also have interests and backgrounds and things that to get to know each other. I don't know why you want to depersonalize the board. Oh, well,
I'm not wanting to depersonalize the board. So please don't put words in my mouth.
I didn't quote you. I just said what it seems to me that that's what's happening, though.
So here's where I'm at with the new employee orientation. I think it would be helpful for me if I had some direction from the board in the way of, would the board like to entertain having more than one person in those meetings? i.e. the historical practice or protocols or even governance, what's in the governance policy. And if the board does, then we will look at how we can make that happen and comply with the governance policies in the RCW. So that's kind of where I'm at. If the board feels that's the direction you would like to head, to have more than one or all of the board members involved in the new employee orientation, we can work on that. If you don't, we can continue on in practice. And the only thing else I would throw onto that is, again, we will at some point in the future go back to in-person, and I think we ought to take that into consideration as well from a logistical standpoint. And I do agree with you, Commissioner Logan. I think it is good to keep in mind what the purpose of the new employee orientation is. Sure. And that if it is the primary reason to have more than one or all of the commissioners in those meetings is to meet new employees or to meet employees and engage, we have other opportunities that we can accommodate that. It would probably be more effective.
Thank you, John.
And this Commissioner Olson, I believe John has laid on the table a request that the commissioner give some direction on this, the commission. And we're not all on the same page. Are we prepared to give him direction? I'm not prepared.
Yeah, and that's not my expectation. My expectation is that the board give direction when you are ready to give direction.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further on this subject?
Commissioner Logan, can we just confirm, because the one meeting that Commissioner Wolf is requesting is going to occur in the next 9 days. We don't have another meeting, so we do need to make a decision about that one.
Can we even notice it?
It would have to be a special meeting. It'd be noticed that way. And Commissioner Wolf keeps referring to, we can put the commissioners in different rooms. We have not confirmed that can happen. So we would need to talk to staff, but it would need to be, we would have to notice it as a special meeting if there's more than one commissioner.
Yeah, okay. From all the Zoom meetings that I attend, I can tell you it can be done.
Okay, well, I don't run it, and I don't know how it's set up. So I'd have to talk to the HR staff about
right.
that.
Okay.
But sure. Not from the beginning of the meeting. The meeting starts, everybody is in the same meeting.
Right.
So my recommendation is that we not worry about this meeting that's coming up in 9 days, that this is a longer term issue. And again, I would put it back on the board whenever you're ready to give direction, that you give direction, and we make sure we do this in the right way and not try to accommodate a need for this upcoming new employee orientation meeting. That would be my recommendation.
Well, I think your offer is generous, John, because I think to give you direction on something like this is to actually usurp the authority that we've already given you. I think this is not, I think, hopefully we'll talk about this when we talk about our customer linkage, but I think we're here to in large part to help serve the utility in the best way that works for the utility. And so unless the utility has a need for us to all be there, I will not vote to impose that we require require opening up to all of us. I just don't think that's an appropriate step to take.
Commissioner Logan, would you be opposed to rotating the ability to attend?
You know, I think it's an interesting question. I have to think about that too. But yeah, I agree with you, yeah. Commissioner Wolf. I agree with you that it really is truly a great thing to participate in. And it's actually something that I think is really benefited by doing it electronically. Mm-hmm. So being in a breakout room, four different breakout rooms with all the employees is a much better experience, I think, for the employees than the old way, which we sort of stood around mm-hmm. and drank coffee and chatted with each other before the meeting. So I do think it is a great thing, and it's a great opportunity. And so let me think about that. Anything else on this subject or any further business to come before the board?
The Commissioner Olson, so John asked us a question that there's no change to the one that's coming up on the 29th. To our practice, John asked that question. Because of the timing, that the meeting on the 29th will follow current protocol.
Yeah, that's what John suggested. And I indicated that I'm not going to support voting to, I'm not going to support with a vote to oppose it on John. And Commissioner Olson, you said you're not ready to make a decision yet. So I think
I'm not ready to make a decision, but I the light bulb went on in my head with regard to rotating.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we should pursue.
I think so too.
Okay, we agree on that.
That's one.
So Commissioner Logan, you'll be the primary one attending on the 29th.
I will. That's okay. What's in the board packet, and that's what's scheduled.
Okay.
And then I think there, like I said, I think there's 3 or 4 a year, so we'll have ample time to talk about whether we want to rotate mm-hmm. them in the future. Okay?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Is there any other further business to come before the board this afternoon? Okay, hearing none, it is 3:08 p.m. and our meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Stay healthy.